Welcome to another episode of the Ignited Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm Jessica, your host, and I invite you to join in and listen to a conversation with an amazing entrepreneur who has leaned into their passion and is igniting their life and the life of others. Welcome to another episode of Ignited Entrepreneurs. Today I have Andrea Stevens. She's an author, speaker, and life coach. And today I'm excited to have her here because she came through another guest that's also been on the show, Ashley, episode number 109. So make sure you go back and listen to that episode as well. So, Andrea, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jessica. I'm super happy to be here. I'm excited.
I am too, because when your team reached out to me and told me the name of your book, I was like, oh yeah, I need to hear about this book. So I'm not going to spoil it. I want you to tell everybody about it, but just, yeah, tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Yeah, thank you. So like you said, I'm an author, speaker, and life coach. And specifically what the book is about is it's basically just a philosophy of what I teach. It's the foundation of everything that I teach in my life coaching, as well as in the speaking that I do. And it's just the premise of everything that I build off of. So the book is specifically about a young woman who is trapped in a career that she doesn't like. You know, she has a life that has just let her down. And throughout the book, she endures a series of events that seem disconnected. There's just one thing after another, and you find her saying to herself, like, I just can't catch a break. And all those events force her to face the truth of why it is that her life is the struggle that it is. And so that's basically summed up in behavioral psychology. It's your belief system, you know, where it comes from, what it is, what your belief system is, and actually how to change that to be able to move forward in your life.
Oh, now I know why this really spoke to me. And I'm going to guess I'm probably not the only one.
No. And this is, you know, honestly, what I found after talking to hundreds of women is that a lot of women feel that life has let them down. And they also feel caged and trapped by the circumstances around them. People often ask me why I use the word caged. And it's because you're not in a box. Like, you can see what you want. Like, you can almost touch it. Like, you can smell it, you can see it, but you can't have it. It's like, you're right there, but it's like, you're just trapped. You're kind of in this cage by your circumstances. You feel invisible. You know, there's just too many things one after the other, after the other, that keep showing up that allow you to not have what you're looking for and what you want. So I just wrote this book to give the reader hope, you know, to show them how powerful they really are and how we are actually designed to live the life that we truly desire.
Woo, love it. So the name of the book is?
It is Uncaged.
Woo, I love it.
Yes.
So let's just, before we really get into the book and talk about, you know, the work that you do and just why this book was something that you needed to write. Can you just back it up a little bit for us and just give us a little bit of your journey to get to here?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was born and raised in a strict religious background, and I did feel caged by my circumstances. And I just felt like I didn't have an opportunity. I never really liked it. I mean, it wasn't bad. It wasn't terrible. I didn't have a lot of trauma or abuse or anything like you find a lot of people in those situations do have that. So I was very blessed in that way to not have that. But I married into the organization. And once I started having kids, you know, I knew I had dreams. I knew I had potential. And I would often find myself asking, like, there's got to be more to life than this. And I, you know, was a stay-at-home mom. I didn't really want to be. I was just a miserable, I was just like a porcupine. Just anything could set me off. You say the wrong thing, it's going to set me off. You know, outside, it looked like I was doing great. But inside and behind closed doors, it was an absolute mess. And I knew there was more to life than that, but I felt trapped. I felt caged. The few times that I went to my husband about it and just kind of brought the subject up, it was shot down. And, you know, and that's no fault to him necessarily. He was just doing what he was told to do. And so I just felt like I was stuck. And I secretly started studying psychology And I realized that, you know, I have control of my brain and my mind. And I fell in love with psychology. I fell in love with neuroscience. And he didn't know that I was studying it, kind of in secret. And it just got to be so much that I couldn't hold it in anymore. And it changed me as a person. And I found myself at an event at one point in time. This was a couple of years ago. I found myself at a business event because I had an e-commerce business that I was also running, just trying to keep myself busy and trying to keep, you know, myself from totally blowing up. I had a small e-commerce business. And so anyway, I was at a business conference and we were invited to this breakfast and, you know, we were all strangers to each other. So as we were all sitting down, you know, we asked that awkward question, you know, so what do you do? And this woman pulled out a square business card out of her book, and that was Ashley, and out of her purse. And she said in a nice, you know, confident, smiley voice, she was like, I'm a book coach. I help people write their book in 90 days or less. And I just remember thinking like, really? 90 days? Come on, man. Seriously. It takes people years to write a book. Nice try. But just kind of, you know, she had that bubbly personality. And so I said, hey, maybe one day I'll be your client. And we just kind of laughed about it, you know, and our conversation carried on. And there was other, you know, 8 or 10 other people that had sat down at the table. So, you know, I just kind of stuck her card in my purse. And you know, there was a point in time, there were several other things that happened, but I just kept that card. And it came time, I pulled it out one day and I just stared at it. And I, you know, flipped it back and forth. And I thought, if I'm going to do this, I just decided right then and there that I was going to call Ashley and that I was going to write the book. And it was what people needed to hear. And I was going to put everything that I was secretly studying into a book and get it out into the world. So that's how that happened. Called her and, you know, we talked, and 3 months later, my rough draft or my first draft was due. And then 6 months later, it was published.
That is amazing. I love everything about that story. Like just how you met her, you kind of didn't even believe it at first.
No,
you put it away. And then when the time was right, you pull it out. And then now here you are. I love that story.
Thank you.
Amazing. Okay. Okay, so now let's hear, like, tell me more then about this book. And I love the secret studying of psychology. Like,
yeah, that's making its way into my second book for sure.
That's no part, kidding.
Yeah, the character has a secret, a double life that she's living. So
oh, I like it. So yeah. When your husband found out that you had been doing this, what happened?
You know, that's a really interesting story. And it's not one that I've shared a lot because it's so new to both he and I, but we were having a lot of issues in our marriage. I mean, it was really, really ugly, but we believed that, or we were told to believe, we were kind of forced a lot of our beliefs, but you know, we were told to believe that divorce is wrong and that no, and under no circumstance should you ever leave, you should always try to work it out. So I had come to the conclusion that since I can't leave him, I'm just going to decide to live with him. I couldn't stand the man. I probably shouldn't use the word hate, so I'll use every other word that I can then hate him. But I did not like him at all. We ended up having 4 children together. And, you know, that's a story in and of itself. But when I started really actually applying what I was learning, because I studied psychology and then I started studying neuroscience. And when you put the two of them together, it's like a bridge between your mind and your brain. And so I started making the connection, you know, between the mind and the brain, the mind-brain connection. And I was just putting into practice what I was learning because I was fascinated by it. I loved it. I found it was my passion and my area of expertise. It was kind of like a hidden talent that I had. And so I started putting these things together and I became a different person. I changed in the course of that. And so our marriage started changing and he thought that it was him getting stricter and stronger and being more, heavy handed with the hammer. And this is what we're going to do as a family, but it was actually me who was changing. And when he found out that I was studying this, cause I had started connecting with people in Facebook and different things. He questioned me about it. And the response that I gave him was different than what he would than what I had ever done before. It was very calm. It was collected. And he said, I'll never forget. He said, you've changed. Like, what happened? You've changed. And I said, if you're open to it, I can tell you what changed. And he was like, yeah, sure. This is great. Like, I like this person that you are now. And that was the very beginning of my transformation that I had. And I started sharing with him. I just spilled everything out, and you know, his mouth was on the floor for a couple of days, and then he joined me. So it was quite transformational for sure. And just completely changed our family. It changed our marriage. It changed everything about us.
I love that. It's one of the things that I share with my clients is that it really does take just one person to make that shift, because then the other person automatically starts to react differently to you because you show up different in the world. Yeah. Oh, beautiful.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. What a fabulous
message. I started
message.
Seeing things differently. You know, I for the longest time was blaming him for so, I was blaming him for being in my way. I was blaming the kids for being in my way. And when it came down to it, it was me. I was in my own way. I hated myself. I had a lot of guilt. I had a lot of shame. I had a lot of, you know, just stuff from my childhood. And when that was cleared, I was opened up to a new person, and it invited in parts of him that he was also trapped and caged in that he could open up then too. You know, yeah. So you're 100% correct. It takes one person.
Amazing. Oh, so you guys are still together. What a fantastic story. Honestly, I was expecting something different. Like, I really was honestly expecting you to say, oh yeah, no, we had to go our separate ways. And so I love that that's actually not what happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
Congratulations. That's a huge, yeah. Like, I don't think people realize, like, you weren't just dealing with, you know, personality differences or whatever. Like, you were talking about some seriously strict beliefs.
Oh yeah. And you know, emotional and it was emotional and mental abuse, really.
Yeah. And it was a learned behavior, right?
Yeah. Yep. 100%. Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay, so let's talk now about, like, how you took all of this studying and this information and clearly your own lived experience and put it into this book for people to be able to benefit from.
Yeah, so I, you know, like I said, I had met Ashley, and I knew, like, there were this, all of this information and expertise and talent was bubbling up inside of me. And it was just like, I had to get it out, and I was starting to tell people in my current religion about it. And I was, it's really funny when I look back, it's sad, but it's funny because I let it affect me so much, but I was called demon possessed. And, you know, basically, like, there was a lot of people who cut off contact with me. And it was really interesting because there was a good amount of people that cut off contact with me and told me that I was getting involved in spiritual mysticism and, you know, that I was demon possessed and that I needed to get out of this as soon as possible. It's ruining my life. And I was really confused because I was like, you know, is it, am I just seeing something I'm not actually seeing? Am I just, you know, am I being toyed with? Is my mind toying with me, or am I actually changing? And so that took several months, over a year for me to say, like, no, I think I'm actually changing. Like, I this is a positive thing. This is a good thing. So there was people who were, you know, kind of walking away from me. And on the other spectrum, there was people who were writing to me privately saying, please don't let anybody know I contacted you, but I like what you're saying. Cause I was doing Facebook Lives and I was just kind of getting, you know, just getting my stuff out there and saying my, kind of speaking my truth. And I had people on both ends contacting me. And so I thought, I think I can write about this. If I can write it and just get a book out there, so you can pick up the information if you want to, on either end of the spectrum, like, you can pick it up to criticize it, but you're still reading it, or you can pick it up for it to help you, and then you're still reading it. So I felt like putting it in a book was the best way to actually explain to everyone who was interested what I'm actually doing, rather than me talking to, like, you and I are talking. Instead of trying to explain it to them and say, I'm right and you're wrong, I just wanted to put it in story form so they could actually see.
Yeah, what a great idea. And I love that you had both sides, you know, still reaching out to you and being curious to one degree or another, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the magnitude of the change that you'd be able to create just by you choosing to study for yourself. Like, I love the ripple that's come from this.
Yes. Yeah. And what I say too, and this is one thing that I've really started saying is like, move into your power as much as possible. Like if these other people, men and women, had not moved into their area of expertise, and, you know, if they were sitting behind the book or the pen or the paper or whatever, saying, oh, I don't know if people are going to like this, I don't know if I'm really good enough for this, I'm like, then I wouldn't have been able to read it. I wouldn't have been able to study it and let it lead to my thing. So I feel like sometimes we think that what we're doing is not good enough, or that, you know, who's really going to like it, or is, you know, it's not as good as somebody else's. And like, if you have a desire to do something, no matter what it is, I don't care if it's starting a bakery, opening a gym, writing a book, it doesn't matter what it is. Somebody needs that inspiration from you. Like somebody needed that gym. Somebody needed that gourmet cupcake after a long day. Somebody needed that book. Like it's, we all are doing something that somebody needs. And, you know, and the reason I say that is because I suffered for so long. I held myself back from the book for a long time because I was like, oh, I'm not good enough. I've never had a writing class. I don't know if I can really do this. And now that I've had people reaching out to me, I'm like, oh man, stop. You can't do that to yourself, you know?
Yeah. So was it, by writing the book, was it a little bit therapeutic for you as well? Like,
yeah, very therapeutic. I mean, I had to face a lot of, I like to say, I felt like I was walking through fire because I had to face a lot of my own beliefs. I had to face a lot of, like I said, self-doubt. I had to face fears, agony, you know, the complications. There was a lot of family drama involved. I had some family members begging me not to write the book because it would look bad on them. And I don't think it does, you know. It's just their perspective, you know, and they did it from a place of love and from trying a place of help, I really, truly believe. But yeah, I had to face a lot of that. And it was about 80% of it is my own story, not necessarily just in the, my story is weaved throughout all of the characters, you know, and I tried to be really subtle about it, but yeah, it was very, very therapeutic. And I've even said, I've discussed this with Ashley. I'm like, I feel like everybody should have to write a book, even if you don't plan on publishing it, just going through the process of the discipline of writing a book and trying to stay on character and stay on plot and figure out, you know, what you are thinking, what characters are thinking. It's really, really therapeutic.
You know, it's funny. I just recently heard something called the Parkinson's Law. Are you familiar with it?
I believe I've heard that. Yes.
So I don't know why this has come into my awareness, but it's interesting. So I love that, you know, the book writing process that Ashley puts you through is 90 days.
Yes.
Right. Because so often I think what happens and what discourages people from taking that leap is, oh, you know, you hear the stories of, oh, it took me 2 years of agony. And, right. So yeah. I love that, you know, so Parkinson's Law basically states that a task will take as long as you give it to take.
Yes. I thought that's what it was. And then I was like, I don't see where that fits into this. So maybe I'm thinking of the wrong thing, but yes, you're 100% correct.
Yeah. So by creating that deadline, it forces you to say, okay, I'm taking this time, I'm going on this journey, and I'm going to do it. And you've got 90 days to do it. I love that.
You know, and I will add to that. What's really interesting is that, you know, you hear people say when you have a money goal, you know, make it 100,000. So that way, if you get 50, it's better than making it 15 and not making it, you know? And I think by doing the 90 days, now I was 6 weeks behind. So I had Ashley on my tail, poor thing. I really gave her a run there, but she was constantly like, you're behind 10,000 words. And then, you know, it would get, but even though I was behind and I was like sprinting and I was trying to catch up and I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do this. And, you know, I just kept going and kept writing. And there were 4 o'clock in the mornings and, you know, it, because, and it just, but I was able to finish a book in 8 weeks, which it was like, when you step back and look at it and like, wait, was I actually, I'm sorry, not in 8 weeks, in 12, in 14 weeks. I was like, when I step back and look at it, like, was I really behind 6 weeks? Or was I not? You know what I'm saying? So I love what Ashley does, where you write the book in 90 days and most people do stay on track. I just had really let doubt and fear get in the way a lot of the time, but it still was actually able to get finished. So just to add to your point, yes, I love the 90 day program.
Yeah. Okay. So let's get into the book. So one of the things that you said is that you kind of weave yourself in and out of the book, but not really. So you say that it's actually a fiction book then.
Yes, it is considered fiction. It's considered realism fiction. But yeah,
so what is realism fiction?
So realism fiction is basically a fiction that could happen in real life. So there's no fairies, there's no trolls, there's no, you know, none of that type of world. It's not, we're not in Star Wars. It's a realism fiction. They're real characters, and these are things that happen that very well could happen in real life.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Mm-hmm. I got it. Cool. I've never heard that term before. So that's, I had to ask what that meant. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm not in the book writing world yet. Okay. So let's dive in. Can you share, you know, what about this book? Who should buy the book? Why should people be interested in this book?
Yeah. So what I found, like I said, after talking to really hundreds of women throughout, and what's funny is that I used to talk to women a lot of about the stuff that I was learning. They just didn't know that's what I was doing. So I studied a lot of women for, I mean, I wouldn't say a good 10 years or so. I've only been actually doing the work for 2 years, but I would talk to people. I've been talking about this and kind of picking around for about 10 years. And I would ask certain questions, and it would be so interesting to watch women get so worked up. And they would say things to me like, I just feel so invisible. There's nothing I hate worse than feeling invisible. And, you know, I started writing these things down and seeing what came up over and over again. One of the things that came up over and over again when I talked to women, when I would ask very direct certain questions, was I just feel sad. Like sadness was such a huge thing. And I feel like it's a lot in a lot of women's lives. It's just, you get to a certain point where you look back and you're just sad. Like there's a lot of good things. There's a lot of things that, you know, great things that have happened, but it's just like, I'm just sad. Like, this isn't what I wanted it to be. You know, there's often I hear, I don't know what to do with my life. I feel lost. I feel like my life is at a standstill. And they'll say things like, I want this year to be different. You know, I'm tired of looking back and seeing the same thing year after year after year. And I've tried so hard. And after studying neuroscience, what I was doing was trying to explain neuroscience to them. And it was just confusing. You know, if it's not your area, if it's not something you're interested in, it's kind of a yawn. You don't really get it. And so I made it my mission to kind of study neuroscience and psychology and like pack it up in a pretty bow and give it to you like in a pretty way. And that's why I wrote the fiction book. So I feel like so many of us read a lot of very good nonfiction books. They're great books and you can learn a lot from them. But often what I find is that you walk away from that book either feeling more insecure or more confused or more behind than you were before you actually started. Cause now you're aware of what you're not doing. You're either aware of what you're not doing or you're aware that you're doing something wrong. And so I just wanted to bring it's nonfiction elements inside of the book that show it in real life. So it's like, I'm not telling you, you're not reading a book that says, hey, you need to experience transformation. What you're reading is someone's actual transformation and how thoughts actually affect your life. And I'm a behavior pattern specialist. I'm also a breakthrough coach. And what I do is I help women break through like generational belief systems and behavior patterns that are sabotaging them and keeping them stuck. And that's exactly who the main character, Jasmine, what was going on with her. She had generational belief systems and behavior patterns that no matter what willpower, like it does, willpower is no match for a belief system. And I don't know if you've experienced this, but I know I experienced in my life, and almost everybody I talk to says like, yes, I try so hard to either lose the weight or get up in the morning or, you know, write in the journal or do that. And it's like, no matter how hard you try, you just can't get it. And it's because your belief system and your behavior patterns they're not in alignment with what the willpower is. So it's like, my willpower is I want to get up in the morning, but my belief is there's nothing worth living for. You know, that's kind of a drastic one, but you can see that they're not in alignment. So it doesn't matter how much you tell yourself, I'm going to get up. If you have a foundational belief that you're never going to catch a break or life is not worth living, then you're not going to get up in the morning, no matter how hard you try. Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%. Like you're totally like you're ding, ding, ding. You're hitting all of my buttons. Sadly. Yeah, it's like there's this internal conflict, but we just don't even know it's happening, right?
Don't know what's happening. Yeah.
That's the hard part is, I mean, if it was easy to fix, we'd all be fixed, right?
Yes. Now, I am going to come back and say it actually is simple to fix if you know what's going on. There's a very simple way a relatively simple way to actually understand what your belief systems are. And that's what this book is. That's what the book I'm trying to portray in the book in a very simple manner. So you kind of get a basic understanding of like, oh, I got it. It makes sense. That's the goal anyway, is for it to make sense. Once you've read it and you see it in someone else's life, then you're like, okay, I got it. So there's a lot of nonfiction elements like thrown in throughout the book. One of them is focus. Like what you focus on is what you get. And we hear that, right? Have you not heard that before?
Oh, yeah. Hundreds and hundreds of times.
Hundreds of times. But we don't know how to actually implement that into our daily lives because we're busy. You're like, you wake up in the morning, your day just keeps on, like time doesn't stop and wait for you to figure out, you know, what you focus on is what you get. And so I like really try to slow that down and show what Jasmine had been focusing on that she didn't even know she was focusing on. And it took someone else in the book, she meets a neuroscientist who shows her what she's actually focusing on and shows her how to know what she's actually focusing on. So things like that, we've, you know, throughout the book.
Yeah. And that sounds amazing right there. Even if that's the only thing in the book, that alone would be life-changing.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like I said earlier, we all feel like, and I'm not poking at anyone in particular, cause I felt this way at one point in time too. We hear things like, if I can do it, you can do it. But, whenever I would hear somebody say, you know, and if I can make $1 million business, so can you. And I'm like, no, you don't know my situation. You know, we always feel like our own situation is unique and different. And that's where, like, what I wanted to show, like Jasmine really truly felt like her situation was unique. And it was like, I can't get out of it. I don't care how hard you try to tell me, yes, I can. No, I can't. And then it showed like how actually, yes, you can.
I love it. You know, one of my favorite sayings is you're not a unique snowflake.
Like, yes.
I mean, it sounds horrible to say that to somebody, but it actually helps bring you together and realize that, yes, you know, whatever you're struggling with, a lot of other people are, and it can be adjusted, right?
You know, I actually love that. I've never heard that quote before, but I love that because I think we are all unique snowflakes, but we're all snowflakes. You know, it's like we're all our own individual unique snowflake, but we all have that commonality of like, we're snowflakes. You know, we're all people,
yeah,
we're humans. We all breathe, we all bleed. You know, it doesn't matter your skin color, this or that, your situation, your circumstance, you know, the era you were born in, none of that actually matters. What matters is that you're human and that we're all wired the same.
Yeah, we are all one big community and we're connected.
Yes.
So yep. Love it. So where can people find the book? Because I definitely want one now.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, right now it's on Amazon. You can just go to amazon.com, type in Uncaged. And what's really cool is that I when I was searching for the book or, you know, researching the title, there was nothing called, you know, I didn't see an Uncaged and we were like, oh, that's going to be an amazing title. Well, right when I had published it, there was someone else who had come out with the title Uncaged. So there's two of us and I've reached out and connected with her, but there's two of us with Uncaged books on Amazon and they're very, very similar. So hers is actually a nonfiction book where she shares the story of her actual life. Mine is a fiction book. So you can see the difference. Mine is, you know, the woman that looks like she's, you know, free and standing in a field. But I just thought that was really funny that I just think it's not coincidence, but just amazing that, you know, this, it's really needed, you know, is really what I came to, is like, this must be needed if two of us at the same time thought of the same idea. So
yeah. So search Uncaged by Andrea Stevens.
Yes. And I'm sure if you the other one, that'll help you too.
Absolutely. We want to help everybody, promote everybody. So
yes.
So any chance that you'll be putting out an audiobook?
Yes, I'm actually in the process of working on that right now. I have had a lot of moms especially reach out to me and say like, hey, it sounds interesting, but I don't read physical books. and they've said that they read audiobooks. So hopefully within the next couple months, audiobook will be coming out. Yes, absolutely. But we're working on that.
Awesome. When it does come out, send me a message and I'll pick it up because I've always got something in my ear, podcasts, audiobooks. Ah. I'm a growth oriented person. And so I always love to have, you know, amazing information coming into my ears. So
yeah, awesome.
Yeah. Cause I'm same thing. I mean, I'm a busy lady and as much as I would love the idea of being able to sit down with a cup of tea and read a book, I just know myself well enough that it isn't going to happen. So I love the audiobooks. So Yeah, and you also, you said you have another one coming out.
I do. Yes, it's projected to be out in December. So if everything stays on track, that will be out in December. If I self-publish, if I don't, if I end up going the agent route, it might take a little bit longer. But the plan is for it to be out in December. Yes.
Can you give us any little, tickle tickle about what that one's going to be?
It's let me think here. I don't want to give away too much, but it is going to be another realism fiction book. And I'll just give you this. It's going to be a diary of a woman who is living a double life. I'll put it that way.
Ooh,
Yeah.
double life. I like it. You're secretly studying psychology, you're secretly questioning women to get answers to things, and now you're writing about a secret double life. I love
Yes.
it.
Yep.
Oh, too much fun. Okay, so other than your book, where can people find you, connect with you, reach out? Are you on LinkedIn, places like that?
I'm primarily active on Facebook with just my name, Andrea Stevens, and I also have a website, neuropivot.com.
Ooh, that's a cool name.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah,
I will check that out.
my signature process that I walk people through if they work with me one-on-one is a neuropivot. So we just kind of pivot, we take your brain, we rewire it all up and get it to where you want it to go. So we just take that pivot and then you can continue on your path.
Fabulous. Yeah, I've done some work myself through some different training, and like it really is that easy and that quick when you've got the right person guiding you through it.
100%.
So yeah,
Yes.
fabulous. Okay, so before I let you go, I have to ask all my guests, if you could give somebody who's ready to take their business to the next level one piece of advice, what would you suggest?
I would suggest taking action no matter what. And the reason I said, I'm going to share a story if you don't mind, to kind of explain what I mean. If you have a favorite
Absolutely.
board game that you like to play, Jessica?
Do I have what? Sorry.
A favorite board game.
Oh, I'm actually a cards person. I like playing gin rummy. Does that work?
Okay, nope, that's perfectly fine as long as it's some sort of a game. Yeah. So, gin rummy, I've never actually played that before. That's interesting. So, my favorite game is chess. And when my son was 7 years old, I decided to teach him chess, but just because I wanted somebody to play with and I wanted somebody to beat. So, the first night we get out the board, I showed him how to set up all the pieces and what the different moves are. And he was really excited because that's, kind of how he thinks. I knew that, that's kind of the person he is, and I knew he would like it. And it was, about time. And it very quickly became one of his favorite games to play with me. He would get so excited, every time we put the board on the table. And over time, our games started getting longer and longer. And they went from being, like 5 minutes long the first time we played to being almost an hour long. And he would sit and think about each move, carefully strategize, what he was going to do next. But I started noticing that each time it was his turn, he would get nervous about making the wrong move. He would start to guess what I would do. And there was a couple of times that he would actually get like upset and frustrated when I didn't make the move he thought I should was going to take. Like he'd make a move and I'd make my move. And he's like, Mom, you weren't supposed to go there. And I was like, Ezra, that's not how this works. Like you make your move and then I make my move. But on one particular night, I watched him about halfway through the game as he was like looking to make his next move. It started getting a little strategic and he was just staring at the board and I saw his wheels turning in his head. And then, after about 5 minutes, I heard him, kind of mumbling to himself out loud and he's picking up his piece and he's like, if I move my rook here, Mom's queen's going to get me there. If I move my knight on and on he went. And I just sat there kind of irritated as I watched the clock tick on. I'm like, 12 minutes go by and I'm like, finally, I was like, Ezra, the game can't continue unless you make your move, bud. Okay, like you just got to move. Like you got to figure something out and just move. And he said, I know, but I don't know what you're going to do. And in that moment, like I realized that he was just paralyzed with like failure fatigue or fact fatigue. He was so concerned with having all the facts of the future of the game that he literally could not move. Like the more he thought about it, the more he was stuck. And I thought, man, how many of us do that where we know that we want to do something, like we know we have to make a move, but we just sit there trying to figure out all the different pieces, trying to figure out is this the right move? Is this the wrong move? And my premise is that there is no right or wrong. And in fact, every single thing you do is wrong. eventually. Like if you look back a year from now, can you see where you made the wrong move? Right.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yes.
Many times. Like,
many times. But in that moment, it was the right move. And our job is not to worry if the choice that we're making is the right or the wrong move. It's just to move. It's just to take action and let life correspond with your choice. And so many of us are like my son, where they're like, what are you going to do, mom? And we're like, what are you going to do, life? You know, life's like, you're just going to have to make your move and then I'll make mine. Okay. Like that's how this works. I don't get to tell you beforehand what's going to happen. You got to write the book. And then once the book is written, then I'll make my move, you know, like that type of thing. And yeah, that would be my one thing is like, just move. Don't wait till all your ducks are in a row. Don't wait till you have enough time. Don't wait till you have enough money. You'll never have enough time. You'll never have enough money. The ducks will never be in a row. Like just move. Know that a year from now, it's going to be the wrong move. But right now in this moment, it was the perfect move that you could have made.
Oh, I love that so much. I am a big fan of leaping.
Yes.
And just, you know, building your wings on the way down and, you know, figuring things out as they go, because you're never going to, like your son was trying to get like 5 or 10 steps yes. ahead, but yep. it doesn't work. We
doesn't
can't,
work that way.
Yeah. You can't honestly predict what's going to happen. So yeah. Oh.
And yeah, that's where you get up. You start getting upset with other people because you're like, hey, you weren't supposed to say that about me. You know, it's like, you just got to move.
Exactly. You were supposed to buy my book. What happened?
Yes. Yes.
I was supposed to go number one bestseller. What happened?
Exactly. Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. Awesome. Oh my goodness, Andrea. It was awesome talking to you. And I would love to have you come back when you put out your next book and we'll talk about that one if you don't mind.
Oh, I would love it, Jessica. Thank you so much. And I really appreciate the opportunity. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this. Thank you very much. You know, and I really do appreciate, you know, because so much of what you said about, you know, what's in the book and then talking to the people that you spoke to and the women and some of the struggles, like I can relate. Yeah. So, you know, I think it's really amazing that, you know, you recognize that need. You took the time to ask people what it is that, you know, is causing them to feel stuck or sad or, you know, what it is. And you created a product that, you know, will be able to help people. So, you know, I honor you for doing that. So thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. You're welcome.